Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast. Another week of Talent League footy. As usual, I'm one of your co-hosts, Nathan Seppi, joined by my other co-host, Jonty Ralph-Smith. Another good week of Talent League footy. Jonty, how was your weekend?
Yes, very good. Got to watch most of a doubleheader on Saturday with Gippy and Calder, and then same on Sunday. Geelong and the Bushies, there were a few good performances to come out of that one, so keen to speak about them.
Well, I think this is actually the first week where we've watched like 8 teams. I think we haven't watched as many teams live in person as we have this week, so it's quite a lot of things to talk about this week, which is great. But as usual, actually, first we'll start with a tipping, because I don't think we did it last week, as in we tipped but we didn't give the results previously. Okay. I do keep track of them. Jonty's still in the lead. It's weird because usually one has a better week than the other in boys than girls, but it's still the same. Jonty's up by 4 in total. I lead the boys by 2. Jonty leads the girls by 5. So it's 64-60 in total. So we're still close, and it's a good little comp. But let's go through round 8. Boys first. Northern and Oakley, I was at this one. Northern, 11-9-75. Oakley, 6-7-43. It was quite weird. It felt like a completely different Oakley team to what we saw last week in Dandenong. Northern were just too good, and they played their style the way they wanted to play. A few stood up, and which we'll discuss. A lot of their bottom ages stood up, actually, which is really impressive. Christian Lawson's one that I won't be mentioning in my 10, but he was definitely one that stood up as a bottom major. Zach Johnson was another one who was very impressive. Mm. Northern too strong in that one. That was my quick summary from that. Gippy, 7-7-49, were defeated by Calder, 15-10-100. Jonty, you watched a bit of this. Just tell me a bit of what you saw from that.
Yeah, Calder just far too good. They had a few scoring sources up forward, and their midfield was probably a little bit too strong. Zane Dursbell, we know how good a player he is. Kicked 3-3 for the second consecutive week, and Xavier Lindsay's building into the season nicely from a power perspective, a bottom age sort of half-back winger. And I'll speak about a few of the standout Calder players as well in my 10, but I'll leave it at that for now.
Yep, and then GWV, pretty convincingly, in the end, 7-17-59 defeated Tassie 3-6-24. And what's interesting about this is we were sort of keeping tabs on this game, and I think Tassie kicked the first 3 goals of the game. So
yeah, and after that, it was all GWV.
It was all GWV, and they didn't kick a goal for the last 3 quarters. So very impressive from GWV. And speaking to Dave a couple of days ago, he wasn't too happy with how the break went, purely because I think a lot of the boys sort of lost that touch a bit. And I mean, that's expected, especially when they're so far away and you can't come together as much. I don't think it clicked as much last week, but he was very happy with how it clicked this week. Joel Frazier was prominent again. George Stevens, 27 touches. Unwin, 1-3. So yeah, there's some good performances.
Heard quite a bit about Reece Unwin as a bottom age sort of forward coming through from that game. So I want to keep an eye on for sure.
For sure. And then I've got one. And you've got, I think, a couple that you'll be talking about, Tassie boys, that we'll be talking about now. 10. Fourth game of the round, Dandenong and Eastern. Dandenong 6-13-49 to Eastern 6-14-50. Another one that I was at, very wet weather footy, especially right by the bay. It was suiting absolutely no one. Luckily, the rain, I mean, it was raining for most of it, but it was much heavier pre-game than it was during the game. And, yeah, Easton kicked very poorly. They were 0-8, and I think Dandenong sort of took the opportunities in 3-9, and then Easton just stormed home from that point. And Dandenong looked like they were going to do it 2 weeks in a row, and you caught the back end of that game on stream as well, Jonty. It just felt like it was happening. It was, and Cade Delarue actually snapped from about 15 metres in. It was touched, and it would have put him out by 4 with, I think, a minute 20 to go. And, yeah, it was touched. Couldn't really see from where I was, but...
Just to add a little bit to that, Ziggy Toledo-Glasman played in defence for a large part of that game. Cooper Simpson went off injured, but they think it's just a corky, I think. And speaking to people at the club, they were pretty happy with how Billy Wilson and Harry DeMattea went. But moving on to the Geelong and Murray game, 8-12-60, Geelong defeated Murray 7-7-49. It was a really tense finish. It felt like Murray were within 1 goal, not 2, and it did feel like it probably should have been a 1-goal result. But yeah, Murray improving on how they went last week. Oscar Ryan and Kobe James went really well for them. And from a Geelong perspective, I think Jake Pike took some really clean marks, showed why he's a highly regarded Keith Ford and Angus Hastie, who I know you spoke about last week and definitely would have been in my 10 if he hadn't been spoken about. Really good as a rebounding defender, but I'll speak about a couple of players a little bit later from that game, including the best three disposal game I have ever seen. So stay tuned for that.
And then Bendigo and Western to round it out. Bendigo 7-15-57, Western 9-11-65. Trevalia, one that we've spoken about, good. Rasso as well. So Western getting up, it was, I mean, you tipped that as a little bit of an upset, but
yeah,
Jets get up on the road, which is good for them because they didn't have a very good start to the season. So they're now pulling some strings and it's coming together a little bit. So quickly, the ladder on that. Tassie sit first with 5 wins, 2 losses on 20 points, and Geelong equal with them in second. This is the boys. Wow. This is an odd ladder now that it, after the break, Calder sitting third.
Yeah, with 4 wins, 1 loss. That's it. Yeah. Yep.
Sandy, oh, we didn't put Sandy in there. We forgot Sandy's result. Oh, wait, no, that was last week. Sorry. They didn't play. Sorry, I'm getting confused. That's why they've dropped, because they're the bye. They're fourth. Eastern, Northern, Dandenong on JRBV, all on 4 wins. So it's actually the first to eighth is separated literally by a game. So very close, very tight, which is always good. And on the girls, Gippsland, Calder, Jonty ran me through that. Gippy looked like they were home, but Calder stormed into it in the last quarter, 5-3-33, Calder 6-4-40.
I think for the first time this season, I've watched a lot of Gippsland, obviously, with the work I do at the local paper as well. And I think it's the first time that I've watched, I didn't watch them against the Northern Territory, admittedly, where they've actually had an identifiable brand. And they looked like not only were they able to be competitive on the inside, but they were a bit skillful on the outside as well. So I'm not going to speak about Alicia Molesworth, but she was one who was good, as was Jazz Soden. So they were probably the two standouts for Gippsland. But, yeah, Calder, 5 goals in the last quarter, I think, to win it and kept Gippsland scoreless. Yasmin Welsford, one that stood up late. And, yeah, I'll speak about a couple of other players later.
And then Northern 0-3-3 to Oakley's 8-4-62. I was at this one as that was part of the doubleheader. I mean, the score was reflective of the game, but Northern weren't that bad. It was just Oakley was simply too good because Northern did get the ball. They were having their fair share. They just lacked that polish going forward, which Oakley had, which there was some very impressive performance that I will mention in my 10. The other one I don't have in my 10, Maya Stovey, told her after the game, I would mention she had a bit of a moment that probably didn't want to be remembered, but I'm sure she'll rectify that in the coming weeks, but she kicked 2 goals as well. Brisbane 7-9-51, Sandy 6-7-43, still winless for Sandy, but it's funny because they're probably still one of the better teams in the competition. It's just they've come up against the strongest teams in it all day. But yeah, the confidence is still building in that team, and they're probably one of the youngest groups, I reckon, in the whole competition if you look at their mix of 06 and 05 girls.
Okay.
Bendigo 6-10-46 v Northern Territory, 3-5-23. Bendigo got their first win since round one. So, and it was a bit of a comeback win as well. Northern Territory were up for most of that game, and Bendigo came back hard in the last quarter. GWV and Tassie. GWV defeated by Tassie 2-5-17 to 8-6-54. Harriet Binley, 17 touches and a goal. And then, I can't remember the first names of some of these players. Belvin, though, I do know that name. 17.
Candice Belbin,
Candice Belbin.
An overage midfielder who, has been sort of standing up, gets her hands dirty, and Harriet Bingley, a bottom-aged 2007-born talent who has been talked about and highly regarded for some time in Tassie, played well in that one, and Georgia Clark is always dangerous inside 50, kicked 2 goals.
And then probably the biggest result in the round when we look at the first couple of weeks, standing on 8-9-57, defeated the Eastern Rangers 4-3-27. And it was definitely a result that reflected that game. Dandenong were ultra impressive from start to finish. It was a very good game to watch. Two very high quality teams. I think it was a performance Dandenong were waiting for. I think that's what they wanted to get out of that Oakley game we saw. And it just didn't really come together, but it did feel like it clicked in this one. Everything worked, and there were some very good performances out of there. But there were also some very good defensive performances from Eastern that I'll touch on a bit later on, but not really any worrying signs for Eastern. A lot of debutants, so a bit of a new team for them, but still some very high quality players in there. So not too much to worry about for them. And then the final result, two left, Gold Coast Academy. Big, big win against Western, 130-20.
Yeah.
Talk me through that a bit, Jonty.
Yeah, Sierra Greaves, probably the one who can hold her head up the highest from that one. We know how good her first month's been, 19 touches, so not as good as the 30-35 she has been getting, but still productive. And then from a Gold Coast perspective, Sunny Lappin kicked a couple of goals, and they had a few 07-born talents who really combined to put the hammer to the Western Jets. So, yeah, the Jets will be looking to bounce back from that one this week, no doubt. And then the last result, Geelong 12-17-89 to Murray 1-2-8. Murray kicked the first goal there, and then Geelong kicked the next 12 and certainly were a class above, but it was a slogfest, which affected skills a little bit. So, yeah, that rounds out the results. Well, now, before we get to our 10 players, we'll go through the Allies squad, I think, Nathan. That came out earlier this week, or late last week, in fact. And obviously, there were some Northern Territory and Queensland-based products, as well as New South Wales, but also some players who we'll see a bit of in the NAB League and already have.
Well, I mean, that might be a promising squad, that Allies squad, when you put it together with some of the Gold Coast boys and Brisbane kids. I mean, that might be a very strong squad, but I'll give you some of the Tassie names. You can give me the other boys as well. But we've got Jack Callanan and Colby McKercher, two names that have been very impressive, and I'm sure they'll stand out in those national champs. Tom Beaumont, Heath Ollington, James Leake, also from Tassie. Do you want to just run me through the other boys that aren't from Tassie in this team?
Yeah, well, Phoenix Goddard, one from Murray, who I know they're very high on what he offers. He's a small forward, and yeah, you watch him, he makes the most of his opportunities. He doesn't need a lot of touches, but he looks dangerous every time he's around it. He might only get 7 or 8 touches a game, but generally, if he's getting that many touches, he's getting a couple of goals and having a couple more goal assists. So he's from he's from Albury in a local sense, so just over the border there. And then Harvey Thomas goes to school at Caulfield and has been playing really good school footy there. He's a classy midfielder. He captained the GWS Academy and probably really put his name on the map in round one with 30 disposal, 17 tackle game. But he's one that, he's quite small, but he really cracks in and has a go. So, yeah, they've been main ones. Riley Sanders, we know about, Sandringham Dragon, who's been touted as a first-round prospect. Connor O'Sullivan, likewise, from Murray and Albury.
Well, that rounds out the Allies squad. Still waiting on official announcements for our Metro and Country, but as soon as we get them, we will definitely discuss them. Also, should note, the mid-season draft is tonight, but this is recorded before that. So we do wish good luck to everyone that we've talked about and all the Talent League boys that are in it. But this will be released on a Thursday. So just wanted to give some air to that tonight. That's why this is a day later, this podcast. But good luck to them. We hope they went well. We'll obviously talk about that next week. But let's move to our 10.
Yep.
I think we've both got the same. I've got 4 boys and 6 girls. I don't know what yours looks like.
Similar.
So let's start with the boys. I feel like there were a lot more girls that were impressive this week, especially for me. I saw that. I'll start with the boys, and I'll start with my briefest one because we don't really want to repeat the same, but I have to repeat Billy Hicks purely because I think this week was just like exactly what his talent shows, and everything he can offer was this week. And I spoke about him last week that he was very close to being the best game, but he just wasn't effective on the scoreboard. But it was very good in this one. 3 goals, 15 touches, 5 marks, 2 tackles, 2 inside 50s. But his positioning was really good, just moving forward. And what I noticed was it's just gut running. He'd give it off, he'd kick it, but he'd keep going and be there to receive it back, which, you know, a lot can just sort of move forward but not really push as high after you kick it. But he was doing that. Didn't get sucked into the contest when it was going in deep, waited out the back and got a goal out of that as well. And was effective on the scoreboard, kicked the goals he needed to kick that were, you know, not all of them were guarantees, but he was doing that and kept Oakley in the game at times, even though Northern were on top for most of it. I mean, he kept him within that 3-goal buffer for most of it. It was really impressive, a good marking presence, and was filling the gap well. So he's just, I just thought it was good to mention him this week in a good game, but we don't want to mention the same players 2 weeks in a row. But I just thought in this instance, I have to.
I'll say my first player and my most impressive boys player. And yeah, if you didn't watch the game and you're not familiar with the talent league, you think I'm ludicrous for saying a 3 disposal game is the most impressive boy for the week. And perhaps I am. I don't know. Maybe I am overplaying it, but I'm a massive fan of Tommy Anastasopoulos. Everyone knows that. So to watch someone keep him quiet and keep him to one shot on goal, and he didn't score from that shot either. I think it might have been a rush behind, and virtually no impact forward of centre was outstanding. That's Darby Wilson from the Murray Bush Rangers. He started the season like a house on fire, did Tom Anastasopoulos. His last two Talent League games, he's been interrupted with school footy. He's played on Darby Wilson, and they've been his two quieter games of the season. But this one in particular, the first game they played on each other, he still managed two goals. Didn't kick any on the weekend. His smarts, I guess, as a small defender, he's able to wear him like a glove. He doesn't let him get off the leash. Anytime he does get his hands on the ball, Tom Anastasopoulos, it felt like there was a little bit of tackling pressure or perceived pressure on him. And I know they were really happy with the job he did. He had one role. It was to keep Tom Anastasopoulos quiet. Tom Anastasopoulos finished with 7 touches, and they were very satisfied with that from a Bushy's perspective. So a big shout out to the bottom age prospect out of Euroa, and he's certainly one to keep an eye on because he has done some other things in a more offensive sense to start the season as well. So it's not just a defensive side of things that he can do it, but yeah, a good bottom age defender to keep an eye on.
I'll keep on the trend of defenders. I'll knock off 2 now. So I'll start with Josh Tovey from the Eastern Rangers. He was definitely the most impressive, equal with Josh Smiley, but left him out because I feel like he will be very good. So it was, I don't know. I don't know if it fits the podcast, I guess. But yeah, Josh Tovey was very impressive. 27 touches, 7 marks, 2 inside 50s, 2 rebound 50s. And it was everywhere he was, he had an impact. Always was found without an opponent, which is just so impressive for a defender because, I mean, you can say, you know, the attackers just want to get space, but always front and centre, always taking good marks. And he's really good with a pretty wet ball. Like I said, it was never really dry at all on Sunday at Frankston. It was always wet. Might not have been heavy rain, but the ball was definitely never in a state where it was easy to move around with. Just really held his own shape, didn't push forward too much, just was able to exit the ball really well. Didn't give away his front position, and a very impressive performance from him. I thought he did everything right, and it was a very just solid defensive display against a pretty strong Dandenong attack that has quite a lot of speed to it and the ability to move the ball really quickly. One that we haven't actually ever spoke of, I don't think, Parker Heatley was very impressive for Northern. One that I hope can continue what I saw on Saturday, and his first couple of weeks didn't really indicate he was having a lot of impact, but I guess that's the trend with defenders and stats. It never really reflects because he only had 12 touches, but 5 rebound 50s, 3 tackles. And he's a player that just plays on instinct. Like, it was very evident. He just knew where to go for the ball. It was always first in, would know when to leave his opponent to impact a contest. And it was evident as well with his running patterns. He knew how to impact transition. It wasn't just to hold your shape. It was move forward and make a difference. His exit strategies were really good, and he was getting in front of all the contests. And loves the tough physical action on the field as well. He was getting into a few of the Oakley boys, but he was one that was really impressive. His coach, Anthony Rocker, actually said he played forward for most of his juniors. So it was it's a bit of a change for him, but he's got all the attributes of a defender. So, and that definitely was evident on Saturday. So an impressive performance, a name that definitely could be mentioned here a few more times before the end of the year.
Well, it's interesting you note that he doesn't mind the rough and tumble with the Oakley boys, because the one thing from him that I noticed in the first month of the year, I didn't watch a lot of Northern, was he basically split bottom major Christian Moraes in half at Box Hill in round 3, I think, and Christian Moraes had 15 or 16 touches in the first quarter and a half of that game. And then, yeah, it was Polaxed, and that was his day done. So, yeah, certainly doesn't mind the rough and tumble. But a couple of quarter boys that I'll touch on. Jaden Wynn had his best game, probably at Talent League level, of his career to date. 22 disposals for the bottom major. He represented Vic Metro last year. He's a lightly framed winger, plays the position well and runs hard and is very, very high end from a character point of view. So good to see him really building in and didn't get a look in at the Vic Metro trials this year, but certainly on his current trajectory, expect he'll be around that mark next year. And Amin's name is one who I guess I have been very high on since pre-season. 4 goals, 3 in 16 disposals, along with 6 marks he got for the Calder Cannons. He'd be less than 190 centimetres, 187, 188 centimetres, he looks like when you watch him, but he does play above that height. He's an undersized sort of key forward. He's a good presence for them. Knows how to find the scoreboard and, yeah, really lively inside 50. So next generation prospect, I think, for Essendon. Another one that just missed out on the Vic Metro trials, but is certainly doing some good things at Talent League footy.
For sure. And then I'll list off my last of my boys in the top 10, and you can do the same. Lockie Charlson. 1 goal, 22 disposals, 4 inside 50s. Wasn't able to watch this game, but Dave Loader was very happy with how he performed, and he's getting a lot more balance in going inside mid and then as a small pressure forward, and he's doing that very well. 4 inside 50s indicating he's moving the ball really well as a midfielder, and he'll know how to impact when it goes inside 50 as well. So it was a very impressive game. He's continuing his good form, and I think that form continued into the trials and the Young Guns game as well. So it's building very nicely, Lockie Charlson. It's very evident that he's like establishing his role very well and his traits and talent on the field. So that's the last of my boys in my top 10.
Certainly, I think Lockie Charlson was one that impressed more than anyone else in the Vic Country versus Young Guns game from a forwards perspective for Vic Country. But my last boy, Ari Schoenmaker, first game back at Talent League level for 2023 after he compiled some good form last year. And yeah, pretty decent game as well. Out at a wet Ballarat, 36 disposals he got along with 19 rebound 50s. He took the kickouts for the Tassie Devils. And yeah, he's got a very long kick, so he's able to clear the defensive area. He's good overhead. And I know in preseason they sort of touted him as playing that Lockie Cowan role. Lockie Cowan, obviously in the AFL system now, and is a Devils boy. So they think he can do that off half back. And he's one who I expect will build into the season because he's got a lot of upside. Unfortunately, he hasn't played the first month or so, but has been very good in the TSL playing senior footy for North Launceston. And yeah, I expect that's just the start of what will be a very good season for Ari Schoenmaker. He might even work his way into some of the later games for the Allies. So highly rated is he in the industry from the powers to be. So yeah, a good welcome back for him against GWV. But yeah, we'll move on to our girls now.
Well, I've got 6 and I think 2, yeah, they're from 2 games. So I'll start with the Oakley and Northern. I've only actually got one. And Emma McDonald is that girl from Oakley. And this was the breakout game. And she's still a bottom major, which I had to double check that because you look at some of these girls and you think they're this year's draft just because of how good they are already. So she's still got a year to go, which is pretty scary, especially for Oakley. They've got a lot to work with in the next couple of years. But 4 goals, and I kept messaging you throughout that game just saying she was just not dropping anything. Every mark, every ball that came in, she was grabbing it from anywhere. And I thought she had over 8 marks, to be quite honest, and I'll trust what the stats say, but I reckon at the very least 50% of those were contested. I would probably estimate about 6 of them were 4 tackles as well. It's just so impressive, and she had kicked 4-2, so she's pretty accurate in the end.
Yeah,
I mean, probably could have kicked all of them in the end. There were a couple she just sort of sprayed. They were just banana kicks that I think went for points in the end, but it was so impressive, just so dominant. Pretty tall for her size. Like, she's not overly tall, but, like, she's not massive either. So she was just grabbing them from everywhere, and her body work was fantastic as well on the goal line. She would always have second opportunities when a teammate would kick for goal. Just a bit out of their distance, it would always lay on the goal line. She'd be there to either keep it in or take a mark. So couldn't fault her game at all. It was very impressive.
certainly, no, it's good to hear her going well. I know I saw a five-minute glimpse of her against the Sandringham Dragons where she really tore it apart, but didn't do it for the full game. So it's good to hear that she's doing it now. One more boy that I forgot to touch on from the Geelong and Murray game was Tobin Murray, just his work rate. Just wanted to touch on that. 17 disposals in a team high, 8 tackles, and also was able to round that out with a goal. So, yeah, his ability to get a couple of possessions in a chain and, yeah, work from defence into offence and be part of some counter-attacks was really impressive, helped his teammates out a fair bit as well. And when he wasn't doing it with the ball, he was willing to tackle and created an option where he needed to as well. So I think I remember at the preseason testing, he won pretty convincingly there. Yo-yo test, and yeah, that tank was on show on the day against Murray. But yeah, to go back to the Tassie theme from Schoenmaker to Tanisha Kikowak, my first girl, and undersized ruck, I guess you could say. She's not going to play ruck at AFLW level, and that's why they've shown her a lot in defence in the first month of the season. But they thought they would put her in the ruck where she is most comfortable at this level, and she showed that she's a good big body in the contest. And yeah, she does have a lot of upside there. She not only wins her hit-outs really comfortably, but is then able to follow up. I think she won 6 or 7 clearances, I was told. She got 20 disposals, uses it reasonably, and, yeah, tackles hard as well. So, yeah, good performance from her. So hopefully she's able to keep it going because she's a top ager who is catching a few eyes.
And then, I could knock off 4 now, but I'll knock off 2. I'll knock off, so I've got 4 from the Dandenong Eastern game. I'll touch on the 2 Eastern girls first. One that I haven't got in my top 10, but I'll sort of just briefly mention Ava Campbell. She had a pretty good first half. The only thing that stopped her getting in the top 10 probably dropped off a bit in the second half, but very aggressive and like attacking with her defensive players. She took the game on, so I thought that was just something to mention. She was close to getting in. But Georgia Stubbs is the first Eastern girl. 12 touches, 3 marks, 3 tackles, 2 rebound 50s. The stats probably didn't reflect that, and nor has it really with any of the defenders I've talked about. But she was just very strong defensively, took her intercept marks. A lot of defensive exits, but I think they were a bit further up the ground. That's why they didn't really register as rebound 50s, because they were sort of just in that center square, but they were exiting kicks out of contests and pressure, and attacked the footy really well. I thought it was a very impressive game, and Ash Close has been really big on her as coming up and developing really well, and I thought that game really showcased what her strengths were. So that was one for me. And then the second one, another defender for Eastern, Hayley McLaughlin, 22 disposals, 3 marks, 8 tackles, 7 rebound 50s. Pressure speaks for itself with 8 tackles, really strong on the ball, and kept the ball locked in there. It was definitely a game where Dandenong were getting a lot of repeat inside 50 entries and probably could have hit the scoreboard a lot more if they'd got it just a little bit deeper. I mean, Frankston's a pretty big ground, so it's not the easiest ground to score on, and we saw that with the boys' game as well. Created stoppages with her defensive efforts, calm under pressure, especially out of the back line. Just when the ball would come in, it would usually go into a pocket. That was the general trend of this game, and she was bringing it out really well. So yeah, good defensive display from a couple of Eastern girls in a game where they were pretty defensive for most of it.
Yeah, and I'll touch on the 2 Calder girls and 1 Gippsland girl, and then I'll hand the floor back to you. But Emily Marino and Kaylee Kavanagh from a Calder perspective, Kaylee Kavanagh probably their only 4 Calder performer from the Calder Cannons. We know, like I touched on before, Gippsland were the much better team for the first 3 quarters of that one, but Kaylee Kavanagh, one that can hold her head up high. She was just ultra consistent, cracks in, really good inside midfielder, and really professional off the field there, really high on what she offers. She finished with 23 touches and a goal. And Emily Marino on a wing had 16 touches. She holds her width really well. She understands how to play that position. And aerially, she's really strong. She took some really important marks and won some important one-on-ones, both on the ground and in the air in the last quarter, 4 or 5, where she was on half-back or in defensive 50 and was then able to, from winning that one-on-one, exit the back line. So that's really important, because when Gippsland had their occasional opportunities to attack late, she was one who was there working back, and that, I guess, shows both her one-on-one aptitude but also her work rate. So good performance from her. And from a Gippsland perspective, I did touch on her briefly last week because she kicked 4 goals, but there were so many to touch on that I probably didn't give her the credit she deserved, and she's backed it up this week. Abby Hobson, particularly her first half, was really strong goal sense, really good marking overhead. She finished with 2 goals and 3 marks, but I think that belies the true impact that she had. It wasn't just the marks and goals she kicked. It was the way that the Gippsland Power looked really dangerous when the ball was in her area. So, yeah, a really impressive performance from Abby, and a 2007 born talent who's coming to the team after the community break. So she'll hope to carry on that form into the rest of the season, and has certainly shown some signs early, 6 goals in her first 2 games.
And then I'll finish off mine. I've got 2 Dandenong and 1 Sandy girl to finish off with. So Ruby Murdoch, the first of the Dandenong girls, it was a very impressive game, and smart coaching from Josh Moore as well, putting her in the half-back line. It was a different role for her. She usually plays on the wing, but her traits just suited the half-back role really well, because she was able to hold her width, and she's 5 rebound 50s. By her doing that, she was able to transition it really well, get that running carry out of half-back and move it forward down the ground. Just really effective, and her work rate was great because she was getting up the ground as well. So just using those wing traits to help her in a different way, and it was more effective on the ground as well. 4 inside 50s, 21 touches, a very strong game, and it was something tactically that I think the Stingrays will have in their back pocket a lot, because it did work fantastically, and I think it showed her traits much better than it has in probably the first couple of weeks. And even though we sort of knew her potential, I think this week it was very evident. And then the second Dandenong girl, a bit of a surprise in general, because we haven't really heard much about her, Kayla Dalgleish.
Yep.
2 goals, 17 touches, 6 tackles, 3 inside 50. She's an 06 girl, but was super impressive. Just really good hands in wet conditions, was lacing her kicks to the leading forwards, but even herself, really impressive inside 50, just found the gap, got away from her opponent, got some uncontested marks, good roving out of the stoppage, was able to get first hands on the footy when the ball went to ground. And then was converting her shots as well, 2 goals straight, which I feel like that hasn't been a trend this week, where it was
so wet.
It wasn't straight kicking. I don't even in AFL in general as well. I feel like it wasn't a good week for goal kicking, but she was 2 straight. And her second goal was great on the run from 25 metres out.
Yep.
Terrific performance. A real standout game, I thought. And then the 1 Sandy girl, I feel like we haven't talked about them enough, and I guess the results probably dictate that. I guess they don't always have as good weeks as they probably hope for. But Jazz Shepherd has been really impressive and standing out the last couple of weeks. 11 touches, 3 marks, 3 tackles, 3 rebound 50s as a halfback defender. But she's just very consistent, doesn't lose her one-on-ones very often, which is always a really good trait as a halfback to win this contest. Was creating play up the ground as well. She's a good runner. So it was a very good and solid performance that I think is backing up what we've seen the last couple of weeks, and I don't see it dropping off anytime soon. So that wraps up my 10.
Yeah, well summed up. I'll just touch on a couple of Geelong girls and we'll get into our tipping. I could touch on Sarah Howley, but we could do that every week because she always racks up 35 touches, and I think she did that again, 35 exactly. I could touch on Chantal Mason because she backed up her 7-goal performance with 4-4. Just an addition, actually, to Chantal Mason. Found out that we didn't touch on it last week, but this is her first season playing forward. She's played a lot of positions as a junior, as they always do, but she's never played that key forward position that she is. So worked into it and not struggled, but built into the season a little bit in the first month, and is now starting to really explode and hit her strides. But the 2 Geelong girls, Caitlin Charles, had a real breakout game, 20 disposals and 2 goals, as a speedy and clever half forward, small forward, who looks dangerous when the ball's in her area. She's able to explode away from traffic, and when she gets into space, she uses it reasonably well as well. She has good goal sense. And Mika Morrissey, a defender, or she's been a defender for the first few weeks of the season, moved into the midfield in more recent times and has done that really well. She finds her hands on the footy. She gets first hands on it, and has really good contested craft, but probably more so is the dash that she provides away from there that really catches the eye. So 21 disposals she finished with on the day, and that rounds out my 10.
Well, there's both our 10s. So as usual, we move to the tips. All round 9. We're up to round 9 now. It's pretty impressive. So let's start with the girls. On the Saturday, Calder and Brisbane's Academy at Craigieburn. This will be a pretty competitive game. We saw Brisbane beat Sandy, so they're probably very two even teams. Usually the academies get it done. I'm weirdly going to back Brisbane in this one.
Yeah, it's not a bad tip. Calder do need to lift after what they showed last week. Probably lacked a little bit of leadership with no Amy Gaylor and Amy Trindade there, but I am going to say Calder to go two from two since the community break.
And then Dandenong and Bendigo at Shepley. Bendigo off a win, but I think Dandenong, especially after such a good win against Easton, won't drop off anytime soon. So Dandenong for me.
Yeah, hard to say the Pioneers getting up. I'd back the Rays.
Western Jets and Eastern Rangers at Williamstown. Eastern need a bounce back. I mean, you don't want to lose your first game, so I don't think they'll want to lose anytime soon again. So Eastern for me.
Yep, another win for Eastern, back on the winner's books.
Northern v Murray at Preston City Oval. I'd have to go with Northern.
As will I.
And then Sandy and Tasmania. But this will be a nice matchup, I think. A lot of balance across the ground. I mean, it's coming for Sandy, but I just think still Tassie just probably a bit too strong, and that's nothing against Sandy, but Tassie are just in a bit better form, and I think they'll get it done.
Bit better form, and yeah, they've got some 2007-born talent that they've brought in recently that's probably strengthened that even a little bit more. So, yeah, I'll say Tassie by a goal in a really tight one. Flip the coin.
And then moving to the Sunday now, Gippsland and GWV at Shepley Oval. We'll be at this one, Jonty. Will be an interesting game to watch because GWV probably dropped off a bit in their form, and Gippsland have probably lifted a bit since the break. So it will be nice to see how this game pans out. I will go with the Rebels.
Gippsland really keen to see how their matchup against the Rebels, having played them in the first month of the season. They want to see how much they've improved and use it as a real measuring stick game. I'm going to back the Power based on what I've seen this week. The real, real improvement. As much as I'm a big fan of the Rebels, I think the Power get it done by a couple of goals.
And then the last two games for the girls is a doubleheader, Oakley Chargers and Gold Coast Academy. I can't look past the Chargers, even though the Gold Coast Academy was very impressive last week against the Jets. I can't really take away what I've seen from Oakley. They've been ultra impressive.
Certainly, they've got a good midfield. They've got the marking target up there, like you say, in Emma McDonald, and Maya Stobie is the small forward. I think they've got all the ingredients. They've got some good players behind the ball as well. So Oakley by a couple of goals in a really competitive clash.
And then to finish off the round, Geelong, Falcons and Northern Territory. Geelong easily for me.
Yeah, I think the Falcons will back up their win against the Bushies with another one against the Thunder.
And now we move to the boys for round 9. Western and Eastern, a doubleheader with the girls. Eastern, very impressive against the Stingrays. I think they'll get it done in this one.
Yeah, so do I. I think Western will be competitive, but Eastern will have more depth and they'll be able to get it done.
Sandringham and Tassie, again, another doubleheader with the girls.
Yeah.
This will be ultra competitive, I think, because Sandy lost their first game, so they don't want to repeat what they just had. And Tassie came off a really poor loss. So this will be very interesting to see how it goes. I will say Sandy in a close one.
Yeah, no, I actually don't think I think Tassie get it done by 3 or 4 goals. I think they'll just be too weak without their private school players. It would be interesting to see how the likes of Will Brown and Tarkin O'Leary and Harvey Johnson play when they're clearly the best players in the side and they're missing a lot of talent. So that'll be interesting to see their grit, particularly if Tassie do get on top, but as I expect they will.
And then Northern and Murray at Preston City Oval. This will be very competitive, I feel like. It will pretty evenly match teams, but I really liked how Northern performed the week before. I think it's a style that will beat a lot of teams, especially without full strength teams. I think it's a very competitive style, so Northern.
Yeah, I'll go the other way and I'll say Murray. I liked what I saw from them at the end of that really wet slogfest at Avalon Airport Oval against Geelong, so I think they'll bounce back and get the win this week.
Calder and Oakley.
Ooh.
Another tough one to choose from, actually. I feel like Calder probably have the momentum. Oakley have been very competitive, but, I mean, off 2 losses, it's hard to come up against a team who just had a very impressive win. So Calder, but in a close one.
Calder by 4 goals, I'll say. They're just not as affected by schoolboy footy as Oakley. So I think the Cannons will be too good.
Dandenong and Bendigo.
Bendigo expected to have some players back for that one. So I think this is a real flip of the coin and match of the round. I think I will go with Dandenong, yeah, to get it done. They've had the experience in the close games the last couple of weeks. So I think it'll be a close one and they'll be able to stand up.
And then to finish off the round, a shorter round for the boys, Gippsland and GWV, doubleheader with the girls, GWV.
Likewise.
And that wraps it up. And that was better. The way we do, we're getting better with our tips again. We're finding that form again with our tips. Yeah. We were doing it too long the other time. Now we're better with it. But no, thank you for listening or watching. Next week, we'll quickly wrap up the mid-season draft and more so just on the talent league side. Fingers crossed that a few did go in the end. We obviously won't know until tonight, but everyone listening now will have known who went. So fingers crossed, but we'll chat about that next week. We look forward to bringing you. I hope you're enjoying this top 10. Let us know in the comments if you are. And thank you for joining, Jonty, as usual. And until then, we'll catch you in the next episode.